Blog Talk Radio.
Monet, your left foot.
Okay. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. We bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine leader, teacher, and guide in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Thank you, family. And it is also my distinct honor to present to you my right hand, my back, Vice President of Nation Building Movement, as well as host of tonight's show, Conscious Black Nation, my dear, sweet, beloved brother, Kareem Muhammad of St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm going to see if I can find that brother you was talking about. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Assalamu alaikum, Queen. How you doing this evening?
Blessed. That's all I can say, blessed.
Yes, ma'am. And again, as always, we begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise and be due forever. I firmly bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted Christ, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst. I greet you, our panelists, in the greeting and the listening and participating audiences. To Mr. James Muhammad would say, with the greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes.
And we're supposed to have some more people coming in. We don't waste time here. They join. If not, we roll on because, as we discussed last week, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And that's what time it is. But I do want to welcome and also give her a chance to make an opening statement if she would like. Our beloved sister Jamie, also known as Diatoma Clarity. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum. Beloved, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, who all holy praises are forever due. I firmly bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his divine Messiah and messenger among us, and that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is in our deep prayers for health and a return to great health, the divine messenger, their divine reminder and divine warner among us, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to greet you all in the greeting words of peace of assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen. And don't you have another announcement to make, Sister Diatoma?
I do. I want to thank Sister Queen Aziza, my love, my sister, my heart. And the nation building council movement of just bringing me on. I will be helping a sister with all her marketing, all her announcements, and whatever else they see fit to use me for. All praises due to Allah for opening that door. It is a great honor. It is a great honor.
All praises due to Allah, but the honor is definitely our sister. You are a jewel of a sister, and of course your talents are remarkable, and you know, you just always have from the beginning shown us so much love. So we welcome you, and the honor is definitely ours.
Thank you, Queen. Thank you so much, and I'm glad to just be a part of this nation-building family, so praise be.
Yeah, and then we recruiting your son, too. Tell him he on deck. Just let him know.
Yes, ma'am, he going to definitely love that because he got much to say. He's sitting here writing a book right now as we speak called The Prophecy. It's a trilogy called The Prophecy 1, and The Prophecy 3, The Return of the Messenger of God.
I'll
let y'all know how that
worked
out.
I need to interview him. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Just let me know when you're ready, because he sure would definitely love that.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Brother Kareem, take it away. I'm going to shut up. I'm bombarded with these folks in Google Chat, and I just want to express to my folks, and my Yahoo is down for some reason. Google is up, so if you all have joined onto the Blog Talk chat room, you're probably in, you're probably not. But if anybody who has me on Google and on Yahoo, would you please let the people on Yahoo know to either come over to Google or go to Blog Talk chat room. Might be a little room in there. I just checked the numbers. We have space for 140 people. There's 93 people in the chat room right now. Mm-hmm. So there is some substantial amount of space left in the chat room for those who want to come on. And my Yahoo is down, but I'm being bombarded here in Google, and I'm going to let you know when Brother Kareem, well, he'll let you know when he starts taking questions. My sight is still slightly impaired, but I'm going to work it out. So,
all praise to you. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Well, tonight here on Conscious Black Nation, as you know, what our theme is, what we desire to do is to address issues, but not only to address the issues. This is not a one of those sessions where we're just going to talk bad or complain. What we want to do is address the issue and then, by the end of the show, provide practical solutions, things that people can apply in their everyday life to live. I mean, we're in a very tough time. Everybody knows that. So we all need to depend on one another, and we all have a view that can help. So we're really looking forward to audience participation, pardon me. And so our topic tonight is actually taken from the historic, the monumental lecture by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in New York, October the 7th, 1985, entitled Power at Last Forever. And we had hoped to have audio clips of it. However, can't find any just audio by itself. So we're going to do that at some point. However, what I did was I gleaned some of his excerpts from the lecture. And so that's where our questions are going to come from. So what we want to do is we're looking at, this was in 1985. This is now
Brother Kareem, we do have a clip in there if you want to use it. I just want you to know that.
Yes, we do? Okay, where, what is the listing under?
It's under Minister Farrakhan, I think Madison Square Garden, 1985.
Okay, let me roll down there. And I just definitely want, because it's always wonderful to hear the minister himself. Okay. There it is right there. And we're going to play that clip first. Then we're going to get into our topic, which is the true aim of the enemy. So we're going to play that clip now. All right.
Now, brothers and sisters, is of their using these kind of words? What is the purpose of such words being written by the press and spoken in the public by men and women of renown? The aim is to discredit a man by the use of false terms without any just basis. The aim is to create an environment of hostility around that man that will keep the people from hearing what he has to say. If I'm a hater, who wants to be involved in hate? If I'm a bigot, who wants to be involved in bigotry? If I'm an anti-Semite, see, they're trying to discredit the power of my message by calling me names that will undercut my magnetic attraction in my own people. See? Evidently, it's not working. Look, calling me those names is designed to undercut any support that you might want to give me. It is to alienate people from me who might desire to help me. Then it is designed to isolate me. And then, of course, destroy my influence among black people. And then ultimately, the aim is to murder me. That's the ultimate aim. Now, I want you all to reason with me. You won't hear me tonight call for killing anybody. But look, the idea of my being referred to as a Hitler is to plant in the minds of those who suffered from Hitler's mind and Hitler's work that we must never allow Hitler to come up again. So we must never allow this man, Farrakhan, to grow into power that he may do to us what Hitler did to us. Isn't that something? So, brothers and sisters, the germ of murder is already sown in the heart of Jews across this nation and across the world. And those who sympathize with Jews, they have a heart now filled with murder for Louis Farrakhan. So some person is going to think, as the scripture says, that they're doing God a favor and seek my death. Isn't that something? When I spoke in the forum in Los Angeles, 19,000 black people came out. The Jewish Defense League was outside chanting to kill Farrakhan. Kill Farrakhan. Yesterday on the news, we saw them asking the question, what do you want? We want Farrakhan. How do you want him? We want him dead. Now, you can't find one word in the text of my speeches that calls for death to Jews. But I am made to look like a total wicked man, and here are people calling for my death. Let me say to you, Mr. Press and Mr. Government of America, what do you think will happen to America if anything happens to me? Concerned, they either love me or they hate me. There doesn't seem to be any middle ground. Many of them make Farrakhan the litmus test that determines jobs and positions. If you condemn Farrakhan, you can get the job. If you don't condemn Farrakhan, you will lose the job. Black people in Hollywood showed up at a $50 plate dinner and the TV scanned to see who was there. And the next day, some of those black actors were being threatened just for being in attendance. They didn't say anything. But I want you to know, you just can't frighten black people anymore like you used to. That is over with. Look. Now I want you to think with me, brothers and sisters, please. There are those who call me devil. And evidently, by the sound in this auditorium, you believe that Farrakhan is a good man. Now wait a minute. How could there be such opposing views of one individual that range from the extreme of God to the extreme of devil? How could one man evoke that kind of hatred on one side and love on the other? What is the nature and character of a man that can inspire two extremes at the same time? And what does this have to do with the time in which we live and what we should expect from God in such time? Don't you realize that the people are divided over me? And this is exactly the way it is written. The book says that this day would be great. There's that word again. Great and dreadful. The day has two dispositions that are opposite each other. Then the man of God who comes in this time will manifest those two dispositions in the people. He will manifest love and he will manifest hate. You say he's divisive. It has to be that way. You can't mix God and Satan. You can't mix a hypocrite with a true believer. You can't mix a slave master with a slave, an oppressor with the oppressed. Something has to separate them and make them see each other, and then we go to war to find out who is going to rule on this earth, either God or Satan, right or wrong. This is not a play day. This is the day of war. It is not I who have said it. The scripture has said it. It is the time of war. You are not going to get liberation praying about it. You got to pray about it. Then we got to get up and do something about it. You see what your family is doing in South Africa, don't you?
All praise is due to Allah. And that was an excerpt from Power at Last Forever, Madison Square Garden, October 7th, 1985. Our beloved Minister Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And like I said, that's where our subject is taken from, the true aim of our enemy. What we're looking at again is from 1985 to this year, 2013, which is almost over. So now we are looking at 28 years from that time. And when you hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan now, as he goes through his 52-week lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done, when you look back on the many talks and the many lectures he's been giving as he's been traveling around the country, you look at this man in his 80s who is doing more and has done more for us, in my view, than anyone else who claims to be a leader or claims to be one who is for us. You look at all this, and then we look at this span of time, and what has happened? If you look at our communities and you look at the condition of our youth, you look at the condition between the situation between black men and black women, you look at the poverty and the murder and the things that are going on in our communities, after all this time, We're not even talking about the time that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spent, just the time between 1985 and now 2013, 28 years, with all of this talking, with all of this teaching. And in the condition that we still exist in and in the condition that the world is in, I mean, I ask the question, is it that the minister has failed or have we failed? That's the question. So I'm going to read an excerpt that's at the beginning of this speech that he gave. This historic speech in 1985. The minister states this. This is an exact quote. He said, "Our enemies did everything possible to keep you from me. They couldn't keep me from you." Now, with that as a base and a foundation, before I actually read the scriptures that we're going to be using tonight, I'm going to start with you first, Sister Diatoma.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. And the question is this, and the question is this. When the minister made that statement, then, and we want to bring it up to the modern time in just a moment, our enemies did, past tense, everything possible to keep you from me. They couldn't keep me from you. Who is the Honorable Minister of the Wartime talking about?
All praise is due to Allah, but the Bible and the Quran tell us it's the Jews of modern then and the Jews of now. They who he speaks of is his enemies and our enemies of today. And that's anybody, and not just the Jews, but mainly the Jews, but anybody who try to keep the people from the light, the truth of what's happening and what is going on today. Because we quickly want to say, oh, well, that was of yesterday. The Bible is just of, you know, it was a story of then. You know, today is a new day. You know, that was then, this is now. But we're not understanding that the Bible was, if I'm not mistaken, two-thirds prophecy. So it spoke of a time that was to come. And so we are in that day of the Bible. We are in that day of the time. We are in that day of Jesus. So everything that the Bible spoke of, everything that the Bible was teaching us and is teaching us is happening today. So he that is trying to be kept from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, everybody that wanted to keep the people from understanding and knowing and following Jesus are the same people that's trying to keep us today. The truth that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is speaking, all praises due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. All praises are indeed due to Allah. Thank you. The Queen of Jesus. Queen of Jesus.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
I know you're handling that keyboard too, though, so I have to give you time.
Yes, sir.
And so again, like I said, from that statement, he says, our enemies did everything possible to keep you from me. They couldn't keep me from you. And again, I ask, what enemies is he talking about? Who is this enemy?
Well, of course, devil is the enemy of our people, and then, you know, you got to say, you know, who is devil? And, you know, I'm not going to be primitive and say that the white man is the devil. We have gone far beyond that point. That's a mm-hmm. given. Let me just put it that way. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's the mindset of a people. We are taught that devil is also deceptive intelligence. And so we, again, have been deceived by a governing entity that makes itself appear to offer freedom, justice, and equality to a people who are indeed searching for that, but they're not receiving that, but they make it appear as though that we're receiving that. And some, many, have bought into the falsehood of that we are equal citizens in the hells of North America, but we can bear witness by the masses and by what has happened to us in black communities that that is not so. So the governing policies and the governing bodies of the United States are definitely enemies to all darker people of the world, not just blacks. Blacks are more targeted because they know, even the devil know who God is. So they know that we are the chosen people of Allah. And the devil is so vain or so bold or either so stupid that he knows he's not going to defeat Allah, but he will take as many souls as he can with him. Now, we as a people have a decision to make. So that is the reason for our current status, is because of the choices that we have made for ourselves and the choices that we have allowed others to make for us. And I've said it, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it till I'm dead in the grave. Slavery was a scoop of ice cream compared to the damage that integration has done, because someone can lock you in chains but not lock your mind and not lock your spirit. But when someone has deceived you and you have succumbed to that deception and you have integrated with the enemy, that is the worst thing that has happened to our people, because we have lost our own identity. There are so many of us that don't want to even claim Africa as the mother country. They'll say, well, I don't know about Africa. I ain't never been to Africa. As if civilization itself didn't start there. And they want to hang on and claim every other ethnicity except their own. That is ignorance. And ignorance is not bliss. So I'm going to put a pin in. I'm going to shut up for her. Say something else. I want to say
something.
Now, you know me. I get on the bandwagon. I'll be like, you don't want to hear that tonight.
All praise is due to Allah.
You'll get it probably eventually. If I keep on running to these people in the chat room, you're going to get in a minute.
That's all right. We're going to get to them in just a moment. We're going to open it up. We're going to open it up wide. Now, the honorable minister, Lewis Clark, on at the beginning of his lecture, Power It Lasts Forever, and you can find it on YouTube. You want to go look at it, or you can order the DVD from finalcall.com or finalcallstore.com. You can actually order the DVD, look at it in its entirety, and I would suggest everyone that's on with us tonight do that. If you have never seen it, or if you have seen it, go back and check this out, because, like I said, remember, this is 28 years ago. And look at where the minister was at. See, a lot of individuals think that what the minister is giving to us now is something new. I hear people with the oohs and the ahs and, oh, teach brother minister. That's right on time. That's what we need to be doing. This is nothing new. It's not like he's just presenting this. We're behind the time in our action in following instruction. But what he said was this. He said that the basis of his talk that night, 28 years ago, October the 7th, 1985, was taken from two places. The first place, he said, was out of Surah, or chapter 110, of the Holy Quran, Sharif, using the Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, and that surah or chapter is entitled Al-Nasir, the help, or Al-Nasir, the help. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed shaitan or Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, when Allah's help and victory come, and thou seest men entering the religion of Allah in companies, celebrate the praise of thy Lord and ask his protection. Surely he is ever returning to mercy. And he said that the second place that his talk was taken from was out of Surah or Chapter 5. And that chapter in the Holy Quran is entitled Al-Ma'ida, the food. And it was verse or ayah number 3. And the particular section that he was talking about is where, is at the end where it says, this day have those who disbelieve despaired of your religion. So fear them not, and fear me. This is Allah talking. This day have I perfected for you your religion, and completed my favor to you, and chosen for you Islam as a religion. But whoever is compelled by hunger, not inclining willfully to sin, then surely Allah is forgiving and merciful. And that's how it reads. However, the part we're most interested in is where he says, my favor to you and chosen for you, Islam as a religion. And let us explain that. When we say Islam, we are not talking about the customs of Arabs. We're not talking about the customs of certain, quote-unquote, African countries. When we say Islam, we are talking about Islam at its principle, at its core, which means entire submission to do the will of God. So see, no matter what camp or denomination you're in or what your philosophy is, when you have submitted your will and committed yourself, your life, to do that which is good, let me say it that way, then you are practicing Islam. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan made another statement early on in his speech, and this is an exact quote. He made this statement. He said this: I must say to you, I am honored tonight beyond words to see my many Muslim brothers and sisters from every persuasion of Islam and my many Christian brothers and sisters from the various denominations of Christianity. So we have Christians and Muslims, nationalists, Pan-Africanists, socialists, communists, all under one mighty roof. So here we see the minister speaking to the fact that this is not about you being converted to anything. The idea is our unity is what we're looking at, which is the solution to all our problems. And we've discussed unity many times on this program. Now, with that having been said, again, I'm coming to you, Sister Datatone.
Yes, sir.
No, I have to wait till you acknowledge. I don't want to start this. Okay. Now that having been said, listen to what the minister said. He said, we have Christians and Muslims, nationalists, Pan-Africans, socialists, communists, all under one mighty roof. He also spoke of the unity between the brown, the black, and the red. This is in 1985. Now, that being the case, here we are in 2013. We know we have Brother Abel. We've also seen, I've seen myself on Facebook, and I've listened to some of the lectures by some of our family who, and I don't think Hispanic is the correct term, but I'm going to use it because most people understand what that means, that they can identify the individual. But from our Mexican family or Latino family, you know, that are members of the Nation of Islam, some have mistaken them for Caucasian, but members, I've seen and I've had the pleasure to talk with, Now, that being the case, here in 2013, since the minister talked about this in 1985, here in 2013, why are we still so hard-headed that we can't or we won't unite with one another?
My opinion? Or
Your view.
Okay, praise be to Allah. Well, being out here, I've been in the nation, all praise be to Allah, for 8 years now. And when I came into the nation, it was like I found a light I had never seen before. And this light that I found, well, I wanted the whole world to see this light. I wanted everybody to know, like, do you know that there's this man out here that's speaking about this, and he's speaking about that we are this and we can do this, and do you know? I found the all praise due to Allah. I found Allah first. I had heard Minister Farrakhan in 2003, but I had just did that. I had heard. But when I seen Master Farah Muhammad, that's what caught my attention, and I wanted to know who he was. And when I found out who he was, I wanted to know more. And the more and more I wanted to know, the more and more, it was like a drug. I got excited. I got hooked. I got to know more. And when I found these things out, I wanted to tell everybody. I was that overzealous Muslim that most meet that, you know, you're going to burn in hell if you don't change your life immediately. You know, I was that sister. Praise be to Allah. I was that sister. I had to learn to be humble. As I grew into Islam, I asked Allah a question. And the question that I had posed to him was, I don't understand. And I posed this. It was a one-on-one conversation I had with him. These teachings should raise us overnight. Why are there still people doing things outside of themselves? And I wanted to know that why. You know, you got these teachings, you got to understand, you know, because when I first came into Islam, I would say I was sheltered. And what I mean by I was sheltered, Allah did not allow in my birth process into Islam. I'm still being birthed. But at the beginning, I can say not the birth process, but more so the embryo state, the pregnant state of Islam. I'm a baby now. But when I was pregnant. My mind was pregnant with Islam at this particular time. He didn't want the process of me coming to birth to be aborted. So I was sheltered. He kept me protected. I was in my, you know, what is it called? You in the womb, the bag,
the water.
Exactly. All praise due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Kareem. I was in that, and I should know that, right? But I was in that. I was in the embryonic fluid. Look, it's been a minute. Look, I was in that portion. And so then once I came out of that particular and I was birthed, and I'm a baby now, so now I'm learning how to walk in Islam. Still learning right now today. But in that particular stage, he wanted to feed me the correct food. He wanted to feed me the correct thing. So then I asked the question, and he said, seek and ye shall find. Knocking and door shall be open. And I wanted to know, why do we fall? Why, after giving this knowledge, after giving these teachings, why do we as a people, why do we fall? Why do we fail? He said, okay, you want to know. So then my lower desires came back stronger. You know, them seven devils that we try to get rid of, we try to kill, and they come back, and they come back even stronger. And the more and more and more that we try to kill them, they still keep coming back. Well, I had to fall. I had to see my fall in order to get back up. So we as a people, the reason why we have not yet come into the unity of a nation
is because we haven't come into the unity of ourselves yet. We don't know who we are. How can we come together as one, and we ain't even one within our own man? We like the water that goes back and forth. We back and forth. You know, sometimes we up, sometimes we down. We like, you know how the tide come in. You know, high water get to drowning. If you get caught up in a rock, you might drown. Well, sometimes we get caught up in that rock and we drown in our own mess, our own things that our own hands rock. And so God said, okay, he ain't ready yet. Got to keep letting you go. But when we could become grown and mature in our thoughts and our understanding, then we understand that interpersonal communication and interpersonal work relationships are key. They are valuable. I was recently reading this book called The 7 Habits of a Highly Effective Person. I'm still reading it. Actually, I'm digesting it. It's a good book for anybody who wants to understand. I implore every black person to read this book. It talks about how we become dependent. I'm sorry. How we are first independent, okay? Then we become dependent, and then we learn as we mature and we get older how to be interdependent upon one another. See, we're so arrogant when we in our dependent stage. I don't need, I don't want, I ain't got to have, I. You know, you just a team of I. I'm growing out of that. I'm starting to realize it ain't all about I. And we start to realize that we do need, in the Quran, it speaks of us. It speaks of them. It speaks of we. It speaks of our. Only time it speaks of Allah as being one is when we worship. We worship the one. But over it all are 19. Even over heaven and hell are many. So we come into the understanding that we need one another. We come into the understanding that we got to have we. We got to come to understanding we got to have our, us, them, they. Once we become mature in our understanding that it takes a community. So as we grow, we will become united. But until we grow within ourselves, you know, out of that dependent stage, then we're going to have to keep going through it, keep hitting our head and figuring it out until we understand it is we that we got to go, you know, to make it to the next stage. All praises due to Allah. And also, I deal with that 7 stages of heaven later, but all praises due to Allah. I'm going to go ahead and put a pin in it, as my sister say now.
Yes, ma'am. All praises are due to Allah. Yes, indeed. And Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Okay, do we have any questions out there at this point?
we have a question from Brother Carl, and we have a question from Sister Regina. Brother Carl says, if the USA wanted to kill Minister Farrakhan, why have they not done so? Okay. Here we go.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, you need to hurry up and answer that, boy.
Yes, ma'am. It's not a problem. Well, I will say this to Brother Cole. I'm going to say thank you, Brother, for your question. And to answer you quite plainly, the reason, see, for example, just like anyone, we can want to do a thing, okay, that is going to be detrimental to us or beneficial to us. However, based upon our knowledge of what the consequences would be if we do that thing, we make a decision on whether or not to do that thing or to do it. And the reason that the United States government has not killed the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is this. Very plainly and simply, they know that, number one, if they were to come against him directly and physically, first and foremost, Almighty God, who backed them up, would bring about the complete and total destruction of this system. There would be no more mercy. Okay, because here's a man that's out front telling them the truth, not just us telling them the truth that can save their lives. The other thing is this. It's just like during the time of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Whether individuals know it or not, see, we love the honorable Elijah Muhammad so much, so much, and that during that time, the United States government plotting his death said that they could not, they made this statement, and it's in their documentation. It's in the COINTELPRO document. Go read it for yourself. They said that they could not kill the honorable Elijah Muhammad like they killed Dr. King outright. They said because the Muslims love him so much that if they had just outright killed him, shot him like they did Dr. King, that the Muslims would go crazy and it would spark rubber. We would have tore the country up. Well, today, it's the same thing. There are so many people that love the honorable Louis Farrakhan in the nation and more so outside the nation. I'm going to say that. All around the world, but particularly in this country, that if they actually came to this brother, they know it's on. It's on and popping. All right? And we got
oh, y'all sound so gangster.
Well, we got youth out here. I'm a well-seasoned brother, so but we got youth out here. They ain't in no church. They not in any mosque. Okay, let me use proper grammatically correct English. They aren't in any church. They aren't in any mosque or anyone's temple or anything like that. And they love the minister and will absolutely go to war if they put their hands on the minister. But even beyond that, the individuals who are running this world and running this country understand the dynamics when you have, whether you believe it or not, a man of God in your midst, or even just a good man, but a man who carries the kind of love that Minister Farrakhan carries. You can't, just physically killing him is not going to destroy the movement. It's one of the things that we're talking about and that the minister talked about in that excerpt from the very beginning of the show. You have to be able to destroy the individual's character. You have to destroy the love of the people for the individual. Then you can do what you will. They haven't been able to do that, and they will never be able to do that. And I hope that has answered your question. If you want a deeper understanding, go into the scriptures and read about Jesus. Read about Moses. Read about, and then if you know anything about the Bhagavad Gita, read about Krishna. Read about these great individuals and understand what happened and the power of God working in that time and what happens when you attack the representative of God. And so I hope that answered Brother Carl's question. And what was the next question, Queen Aziza? Unless you had a comment on that, I mean.
Yeah, you know, but I'm not going to comment because my tolerance tonight is not what it should be.
Praise God. I'm
going to
be good, too, with you,
sisters. I'm just, you know, I'm not down with the foolishness, you know, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to be short with anyone, but let me just say this. You know, I'm not that good a Muslim yet. Allah has, and the minister has, impeccable patience with people. I'm not that sister. So let me just move on to the next question. Next question is from Regina. She said, did the president of Tuskegee resign because Minister Farrakhan was there? First of all, I don't know, maybe you're outside of the Nation of Islam. Regina, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did fall ill. He did not attend the Day of Atonement event, but I don't know anything about that, Brother Kareem. You know anything about that?
Well, no. From my understanding, his retirement or his leaving the university had nothing to do with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So, this is what I've seen in what is it UPI and the various news sources and things. It had nothing to do with that. This was something that he had planned. It just coincided with the Holy Day of Atonement. That's all it was. Now, if I'm incorrect, anyone that's listening, please, you know, let us know. But I do have a message for you from our brother Eugenio. He wants to let you know, Queen Aziza, that he's here for you.
All praises due to Allah. That's my nephew. That's my family. I love you, Brother Eugenio. Thank you. Thank you for always being there.
Right. And you know what? Before we move any further, Sister Guy Thomas.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. You mentioned seven devils earlier, correct?
Seven devils, yes, sir. And yes, seven
ma'am.
Heavens,
well, brother,
yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Well, Brother Eugenio says that he wants to get some clarity on that, so if you wouldn't mind clarifying that for him.
Sure. I think in Message to the Black Man, Honorable Elijah Muhammad explains it best, and I believe it's also in the Bible, but let me locate it. Tell him, give me a second. I know he talks about it with Master Fraud Muhammad's mother in regards to casting out of the seven devils. And the Bible speaks of it as well, too. Let me find exactly where is that in the Bible. Let me go into my Bible dictionary, and then I'll get back to him on that for more clarification. But I know it's definitely in the Message to the Black Man. So let me find those two, and inshallah, before the end of this program, I'll go into it, brother.
Well, yes, ma'am. Okay, I mean, from that standpoint, however, I will share this. You know,
okay.
With my limited knowledge of these things, I will share this, that in the Bible, and I don't remember exactly where it is. I believe it's in the New Testament.
That's what I was looking for, exactly. Yes, sir.
I believe it's in Matthew, where it talks about, Jesus is talking about there was a man who was plagued by seven devils. It says, and then evidently, for whatever reason, they left him. Okay, they went from him. Evidently, they wore him out. He was of no more use to them. And so once they left him, he got up. It said that he cleaned his house. He swept it clean. And everything was, you know, wonderful. It said, but then the seven devils came back and saw that the house had been cleaned out, or that it was a devil. There was a devil or a demon or a spirit, that was possessing this individual. And then once it left him, he cleaned up his house, his home, and everything was beautiful and sparkling. But then this devil came back and saw that everything had been cleaned up, and he brought seven more devils worse and said with him and inhabited this individual's home, which means the person, and that the condition of that man was worse than before.
Yes.
And that's how it's paraphrased. We talked about the kids in the Bible. Now,
and that's dealing with our default. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, praise you. And it's dealing with our defaults. It's dealing with our low desires. It's dealing with the things that we come against daily. It talks about, and that number seven, it means infinite. I know they talk about the number seven being infinite in the Holy Quran. It talks about seven devils. You got seven heavens, seven stages of growth. You got it's one more seven that I'm just on the tip of my tongue. Please excuse me, but I'm gonna definitely find it exactly. Inshallah.
It's almost like being on crack cocaine. Let me break it down for y'all real simple. If you ever, and I've been a drug counselor for 26 years. Let me tell you like this. You ever been off a crack for a long time? And first time you go back on crack, you go into this binge. And it almost consumes you. The devils are the weaknesses or the vices of man.
Yes.
And what we make as a god besides the God.
Come on.
Come on.
You start loving drugs more than you love God, that is your God. That is idolatry. Well, the wage of sin is definitely death. But how many deaths can you die? You can die a spiritual death, a physical death, a mental death. You know, you could die a whole lot of ways, financially, socially. You know, you could die many, many deaths. So this is us responding to maybe our immediate environment, maybe to our deceptive intelligence that rationalize ill behavior. But until you're able to master that, that's why Master Farah Muhammad is called Master, because he's able to master those things that will cause the average man to stray or to go astray. So we have more than seven devils. Maybe it was seven identified, but we have more than seven devils. But anytime you put anything above the law of God, it is a devil to you. Drugs, alcohol, sex, money, your job, your even worshiping your children. It's one thing to love them, to admire them, to adore them, but when you start to worship anything other than Allah, it is definitely a devil or a demon. I hope I helped out a little bit.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. You did. And now, let me add this for just a little more clarification. When it says seven devils, also have that shifted in the Christian tradition as the seven deadly sins. And they are listed as pride. Notice the order they're in. Pride, envy, gluttony, lust, anger, greed, sloth. And now... Right, and it also mentions the seven heavens, and that gets deeper, but in other words, that would be the seven heavens would be the antithesis, if you will, or in other words, the opposite of that. You know, as opposed to pride, you're talking about humility. As opposed to envy, we're talking about love. As opposed to gluttony, we will be talking about sacrifice. As opposed to lust, again, I have to put the word love, okay? When I would say with envy, we would have admiration. Then as opposed to lust, we would have love. As opposed to anger, even though anger is necessarily a bad thing, but that's not what I substitute tonight. But as opposed to anger, because it's described as one of the seven deadly sins, we would have tolerance. As opposed to greed.
And the opposite of lust is restraint, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. All praise due to Allah. Restraint. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
I agree with you. Restraint. As opposed to lust, we got restraint. As opposed to anger, we got tolerance. And then as opposed to greed. Okay, I mean, what would be the opposite of greed? I don't know. What would that be? Somebody help me here. You know, somebody in the audience, raise your hand. Talk to me.
You said the opposite of greed?
Yes.
Poverty. But not just poverty. And I would say poverty and sacrifice. More so sacrifice.
Well, opposite of greed would be charity.
Yeah, and charity.
Yes. That's the one. It would be charity. And then the last of them is sloth. So the opposite of sloth, and sloth is defined as the avoidance of physical or spiritual work. So the opposite of sloth would be hard work.
Faith without works is dead. That's what they say.
Dead.
Yep.
Amen.
All right, brother, you hear you said giving. That's right. That's right. we all the way live tonight. Yes, we are. Again, I want to thank and, you guys so much for that. We all live tonight, definitely. So, I want to now. I don't want to forget the sister's question. It was Sister Regina, right?
Yes, sir.
What was her question? And I'm trying to really get all away from that, but I do want to. You know, I don't want to leave anyone out. What was her question?
No, she was the one that asked about the president of Tuskegee.
Oh, president. Okay, okay. Well, hopefully. You know, and like I said, I answered the best we could because I didn't hear anything about it. You know, not at all. I didn't get any information. I haven't seen it in any of the news media anywhere. Okay, do we have any more questions before we move on to an answer?
Not any I'm going to ask at this time, but we can proceed. We'll get some later.
Okay. That's not a problem. All right, so that we can continue on. All right, now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan made this statement. This is an exact quote. He said that in 1985, well, this isn't the exact quote. This is what he said. He said in 1985 that the 8 years that he had crisscrossed the country doing 250,000 to 300,000 miles in traveling in those 8 years, crisscrossing the country and teaching, he said that that was going to be his final speech for a long time because the time of talking was over and that what he had done the job it was supposed to do, which was to generate movement in the people. And that's why Madison Square Garden, the evidence of that was at Madison Square Garden on that day, that night, that late in the evening, was filled to capacity. The Phil Forum was filled to capacity, and there were people still on the outside. And I've witnessed this with the minister, wherever he would be, you have to set up speakers outside, and I don't care whether it's freezing cold or 150 degrees. The people don't move. They will sacrifice to hear what the minister has to say because the words he said have life in them. And I was getting ready to say something else, but I don't want to jump on nobody right now. So that having been said, I'm going to read from the Bible here, and this is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, or Proverbs 18, verse 21, where it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And right with that, Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1, and it's actually verses 1 through 6, it states, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Right. So that is from the Bible. And having said that, again, right in line with our topic tonight, the true aim of the enemy. When it says, and I'm paraphrasing now, you know, how are you going to remove the moat? And a moat, if you know what a moat is in this sense, it's talking about a little tiny speck of dust or dirt you can barely see. All right, and this is in your brother or your sister's eye. And then you want to, so you think you can see, you see this, and you want to remove it from your brother or sister's eye, you say, so that they can see better. But it says, but you got a beam in your own eye. Now, let's compare that. Okay, and anyway, I'm in construction, so I know what a beam is. So normally when we talk about a beam, we're talking about a board that is at least 8 feet long. 6 by 8 around, you know, 6 inches around or 8 inches around. And that's an awful big board. So let's say it's a, but let's say it's a 4 by 4, even that small, but it's 8 feet long. So your brother or your sister has a moat in their eye, but you got a beam in yours, and you're going to remove the moat from their eye. So that means that while you're over here trying to take care of their business before you take care of yours, you over there beating them up with this beam that's in your eye, whipping them across the head, trying to take a little speck of dust out of their eye. Think about that. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan made this statement. He said, we must now go to work and make the word flesh, make the word real. And when he said that, he was speaking of all these teachings that we have been given. He talked about how he was going around the world. He was going around the world to talk to, he had talked to all of us here in America. He was going around the world now to talk to the people in the Caribbean, in Africa, and in the Far East, to share with them the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he could see the universality of the message and how it could help all of humanity. And then he would come back home, and it was time to go to work. The time for talking was over. Now, that being the case, Queen Aziza, I'm going to come to you first. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
So when he said, we must now go to work and make the word flesh, make the word real, from 1985 to now, 2013, And your honest, I'm going to use the word opinion. In your honest opinion, how well have we done at making the word real, making it flesh?
Well, I put it like this, Brother Kareem, to be perfectly honest, we have brought prophecy off of the pages. And what I mean by that is that we have brought forth the wrath, if you would, of Allah for disobedience.
Come on.
So as well as the minister has taught us on what we should do, he's also taught very well the outcome if we fail to obey. Well, the outcome is here. So we've done a good job of bringing in the wrath of Allah. But then the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a what? Divine reminder. He's a comforter. He's grace and mercy represented on earth, the grace and mercy of Allah. So, you know, we got six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. Now, as far as what we have done as a people, let me just say this. From 1985 up until 2013 now, black people, some black people have made great strides individually, but you cannot, with a good sense, think that if your brother is not free, that you're free. You cannot think that you are exempt from the ill treatment that is bestowed on some black people just because it has yet to hit your doorstep. I give you a perfect example. They beat the hell out of Rodney King. They'll beat the hell out of a Barack Obama.
Come on.
If the time seems fit, there's no difference. White people thrive on reminding us that we're black. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how much money you have. And if you ever want a true example of that, just look at all your famous Michaels. Michael Jackson, Mike Tyson, Michael Vick. They always remind the rich and the powerful that you are just a nigger. They killed Michael Jackson. I'm using Michael Jackson as a perfect example. They killed Michael Jackson. They assassinated his character. You know, they said they charged him with 21 counts of child molestation. Now, you need to tell me, out of all the injustices that we as black people have faced, if it wasn't for the love of black people and white people, Michael Jackson would have been convicted. You don't charge someone with 21 counts of anything and can't find them guilty on one.
Come on.
But by the time the verdict of innocence came down for Michael Jackson, his character had already been destroyed. He was already labeled a child molester, a pedophile, a homosexual. He was this, dust, and so. And all of that being the character in which he represented, because I don't know him personally, so I'm going to say the character that he represented. You know, everybody is not down for social disorder. It was not something that he was equipped to, I think, to handle personally or emotionally or any other way. And then we don't know how any of us would react coming under that kind of scrutiny, especially when you've been out in public all your life like that. But this is a perfect example of what white government will do to you. Look at George Zimmerman and Michael Vick. Michael Vick was the prison for drowning dogs. You hear me? Dogs. But George Zimmerman kills a child, and he's justified. And then come to find out, Michael Vick didn't drown no dog. He just knew about it. He just financed a lot of stuff, but he didn't physically do a lot of stuff, so they say. I don't know. It don't matter. All I'm saying is that the punishment does not fit the crime, but that has long been our story. So the problem is, Brother Kareem, is that they give out a few trinkets to keep the Negroes quiet, to make it appear as though you got freedom and justice and equality in America. You can go all the way up to president. So black people don't have no excuse. You're not fooling nobody. President Barack Obama is the first black African-American, whatever you want to call him, president of the United States, but he is the most disrespected.
That's right.
So where is the prize in that?
Makes you wonder.
No, I don't wonder. I know.
It's all a facade.
It's all a lie. And if we as a people don't separate, and then let me just go ahead and get this out of my system, Brother Kareem. Let me tell you something. Sure. If we as a people don't separate, and, you know, I know my sister, I listen to my sister Diatoma every week. My sister, she's so frustrated with our people, and I heard her earlier say, you know, we got to be patient. Let me tell you something, my business, it's just my opinion. That's a law's job. Let Allah be patient with you. I don't have that job on my shoulders. I have to be patient with you. I have to be respectful, but I don't have to be patient with you. I'm not that good yet. because it's all about a choice. We have the ability to choose. We can choose to do drugs. We can choose to go to school. We can choose what kind of woman we want. We can choose, you know, to go out and buy $90 shoes or $50 shoes. We can choose all these kinds of things, but we cannot come together and choose to be free. We can't choose to unite with our people. We can't choose to open our eyes and realize that they use politics and religion as division items for us. They use the same old game. And if they're using the same old game, everybody's supposed to be up on game, then you can't see that the same old game of divide and conquer is still being used today, no matter what you want to call it. You can call it COINTELPRO if you want to. It's the same old stuff. But we so hip. We know every rap song that come out. We know every new fashion that come out. We know every new hairstyle that come out. But we don't know game. And it's old. And what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing, expecting a different result. We've been here 400 years. You still waiting on this cracker to free you? I'm sorry. To some degree, ignorance is a choice. And if you choose to be ignorant, then, okay, c'est la vie. Excuse me. You can still separate yourself from ignorance. It says our people die from a lack of knowledge. So now you don't have that excuse anymore. We've had the teachings for 83 years. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been teaching for 57 years. But if you didn't hear the message, then your children didn't get the message. Okay, so now we're back to sins of the father. And you trying to say, you know, we need to get out here and save our babies. Yeah, we do. But so do their parents. Everybody has a responsibility in parenthood, and that is including offering or at least opening the door of opportunity for your children to receive salvation, even if your ignorant behind don't want any. Give the babies a chance. You know, so we have to make better choices. I'm just sorry, in my opinion, Brother Kareem, division in this day and time, after all the hell we've gone through, every decade there's an atrocity that has happened to black people in America. Some child's death will be, you know, the mark of the decade. You know, always from Emmett Till to Trayvon Martin. It has not changed. It has not changed. So if people want to really change and that's the desire of their heart, they will do so. Because when they want dope and when they want Nike tennis shoes and when they want Escalades with dubs on them, they make a way to do that. So you live the desire of your heart to the best of your ability. And when you don't have what you desire, what do? You strive. So you have those who are striving for unification of black people, and you have those that are not. And I think we have to get it out of our heads that everybody's going to be saved. We can't save everybody, especially those that don't have the desire. You know, maybe it's my impatience talking, but the opposite of sense is nonsense. And I'm going to put a pin in right there. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am. You get no argument from me, no rebuttal on that. Sister Dye, tell me.
Yes, sir.
All
you
right,
want me come
I'm
out
going
to fire?
Oh, yeah, come on. Come on with you. You can have it. We're just going to make it hotter,
yes,
that's
sir.
All. All right.
Okay, I'll
now,
praise you to Allah.
We
are
on.
Right.
I was going to move because we're down at 9:24 now. So just wanted to speak on that. I was going to move to the next question, which is this.
Okay.
Now, the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan in 1985 at Madison Square Garden made this statement. He said, if you notice, I have around me tonight sisters He said, I want to send the message to the entire world that the world is in the condition it is in because the world disrespects women.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And go right ahead. There's no question to ask. From that statement, what is your view on that statement by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan 28 years ago?
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, like the messenger said, no nation can rise higher than its woman. And if you got a woman and you see that our women, black women mostly, especially here in America, we on, you know, videos, we on TVs, we're naked, we're fighting. They show the most ignorant of us on television. You deal with a white woman, she, you know, not all, but most white women, Caucasian women, or Chinese women, or every other woman, but the black woman, they show as a sophisticated woman. They show as a woman with class and character. But the black woman, they show just ignorant, just plain, just need to be out in somebody's woods, need some type of taming and training, ignorant. But they don't show too many. Even our intelligent black women are loud. And I'm talking about our Oprahs, our talk show women. They weaved out, weaveled, everything fake. Our intelligent women, they want to be white. You know, they carry the characteristics of all the weave, you know, our Beyonce's, and she ain't even, you know, she naked. But, you know, every other woman that's supposed to be sophisticated, you know, she depicted as a white woman. So, but a black woman, in our nature, we are ignorant. So they say, okay, well, the woman is ignorant. The nation is ignorant. The men are ignorant. Everything you see is just ignorant about them. They don't want to pull up their pants. They don't want to get jobs. They don't want to have proper education. Everything is available to them, and yet they're still ignorant. So you ask yourself, why are we depicted as this way? Because I know a lot of black women, intelligent, black, natural black women, beautiful, fine, growing a nation. I mean, myself, you know, as one, Queen Aziza, as another, and a lot of many sisters that's on Facebook. But you don't see those masses of women. In fact, you don't see those character women. So when I go out, and I go out with my head covered, and I go out with my body covered, and I go out looking intelligent, and one woman I was bringing in, I had a big, big crate of books. And she said, oh, my God, you read a lot. I said, yes. I said, I don't do the dude tube. I read. I try to feed my mind. She's like, oh, I can't read like that. I said, yes, you can. I said, if you apply yourself. So when he stood those beautiful sisters up around him, and if you notice, they made a star. I don't know if anybody noticed, but it made the star David. And if we talk that the upper pyramid represents the man, the spirit, the man, and the downward pyramid represents the woman, the womb, which is gonna grow out of. So we are told that the woman is who needs to be raised first. Master, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, 75% of his work, as he has told us, was with the woman, because it's gonna take for the woman, because that's where it comes from, the womb. If anybody never has or never studied, I study, and I have the CD, the whole CD, How to Give Birth to a God, and the minister goes so deep into what we as women need to feed ourselves in order to feed our children, and I bear witness to it. I am a mother who was given birth to a beautiful son, to a beautiful daughter, to a beautiful nation, because from their wombs, they're going to produce a better seed from their nation, because they're going to teach their children how to be Muslims. And I'm only saying how to be submissive to God's will. I didn't know. I had to grow into that. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it is, and I'm still fighting every day to be a part of that. And even though my son did not grow up under those teachers within my womb, he is still in the womb of life, and he is growing into those teachings from the womb of life. So we as women got to understand what we give nature to. I recently posted on Facebook about how we give our children their fears that they have by the things that we speak and the things that we say. As you had just said, that in the Bible it states in Proverbs, I think Proverbs, you said that life and death is in the tongue. When we say and speak to our children negative words, then in them ingrained and they grow negative things. But when we speak life to them, and this is an experiment that one of the sisters out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, Sister Josephine, much love to you, go out to you, there was an experiment that she told us about in one of our classes, one of our MGD classes. She said that this scientist, a white guy, he did an experiment. And in this experiment, he had two glasses of water. And he spoke positive words to one glass of water and negative words and negative things to the other glass of water. He said within a few weeks, the water that he spoke negative to turned gray and dull, and it had, particles of just dust and death. He said, but the water that was, that he spoke life to, that he spoke energy to, it has to crystallize. I want y'all to listen to this because, remember, we are made of 75% water. The earth is made of 75% water. So when you speak death into a nation, you speak death into the water of our life. But when you speak life, it takes 8 minutes and 20 seconds for change to occur. The minister said in restrictive law, for the to revolve around our body, for the blood to flow and to move. So from the bottom of our feet to the top of our brain, 8 minutes and 20 seconds for us to revolve. And that's the same thing with the words, in order for it to take effect. Yes, sir. Right. Whether it to take death or to take life, it has to revolve in our being. And if we speak life to our children, we speak life to our words, then you receive that. But like the minister said, if you're around some positive, then you're going to grow into a positive. But if you're around some negative, then you're going to grow into that. So we got to be careful at what we allow into our lives, what we allow into our beings. So if you bobbing to Beyonce, all the women independent, you'll never have a man. You'll always be independent. Every day, all day, if that's you vibing too, that's what you're going to have, independent. You so hard-hearted that you don't want no man, can't no man do nothing for you, but guess what? That's what you're going to be, independent, not having a man, not have demon. You get old looking for a man. Oh, I ain't never get married because, remember, you was bumping independent woman. Okay, well, be that independent woman. We got to be careful at what we give ear to. We got to be careful at what we listen to, especially when we give in birth, not just to a nation, but to ourselves, our new selves. We got to take on life, what's going to give us life, and what's going to raise us up to that next stage of living. All praises to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you very,
very
much.
Praise Allah. Thank Allah.
Yes, ma'am. All right. We are at 9:33 at this point. And right now I want to share with you something. And you can find it on Facebook. I will be posting it again and again. It's entitled Cain and Abel 2013 in Full Effect. That is what it's titled. And again, going with our topic, the true aim of the enemy. It starts, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why hast thou countenance fallen? And wroth means really angry, but we're talking about enraged. And when it says countenance simply means attitude. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why hast thou countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked to Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Read also Holy Quran, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, Surah or Chapter 5, Ayats 27 through 32, verses 27 through 32. I am writing this note in response to the many continued attacks on my brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in an effort to bring some clarity as to exactly what is taking place during this time, when it is so vital that we, as students and followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, be right and exact in our actions. And now, in the above passages from the Bible, we see what is commonly accepted as the story of Cain and Abel. As such, when one reads this or hears it and takes this narrative literally, then any just-thinking person would have to conclude that even though Cain was indeed wrong, to put it mildly, when he assassinated his brother Abel, yet that which motivated him, God's rejection of his offering, was unjust, if we take this story literally. I say this because if Cain was indeed a tiller of the ground, then he was one hard-working man, because there were no John Deere tractors, and according to the book, he did not have a mule, horse, or donkey to pull the plow. There was no modern irrigation system or forms of pest control. This means Cain had to plow the soil, which was most likely very rocky himself, and then carry water from the well, which he had to dig, to the field and water his crops. He had to weed and keep out all the insects and other pests who would eat and destroy his harvest. Sounds to me like this brother was working very hard. Now, Abel, on the other hand, had it pretty easy. He would get up in the morning, pack his lunch and some reading material, go out to the pen where the sheep were, open the gate. His dog would herd the sheep out into the pasture to feed on grass which grew of its own accord. He would read and eat while the dog kept the sheep safe, and in the evening he would simply walk back, open the gate. The dog would herd the sheep back into the pen, and afterwards he would head home for dinner. Sounds like gravy to me. Of course, this is if we are taking this story literally. In fact, this narrative is indeed a parable of what is happening today. You see, Cain and Abel are two prophets or messengers of God who were taught or raised in the same house of wisdom. Now, Cain, being described as a tiller of the ground, simply means that his understanding and application of that which they were taught is earthy or limited, hence God's response to his offering. His offering is his works and his followers or students. They are able to quote the mighty wisdom, but their application of it is weak at best and does not effectively raise the people to a new level of living or the hereafter. Now, Abel, on the other hand, is called a keeper of sheep, meaning that his every thought, breath, and effort is designed to protect and raise the sheep to the highest level of understanding, which he does, as evidenced by God's accepting his offering. Note the description of Abel's offering. He brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, which means he not only brought those that God had saved through him, but he also brought those that God had saved through those who followed him. When it speaks of the conversation in the field between Cain and Abel, come on, Muslims, big fields await the wide awake man to work out in. Wake up. After the conversation, he slew his brother. So what all you who are character assassinating our beloved brother the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan need to do is take a look in the mirror, Cain, and remember the words in both Bible and Holy Quran. You are wroth, angry, and full of envy because you want the glory for a work you have not been able to do. Your countenance attitude has fallen, and sin lies at the door. Your brother in Islam, Kareem and Muhammad. And that's a note that I shared back in 2011, I believe, the first time. But the point I'm making is this. It's not only the minister, but it's also among ourselves that we are doing this. We read earlier in the Bible where it stated that before we try to remove the mote or the little speck of dust out of our brother or sister's eye, we need to remove the beam from our own eye. Now, having shared that and said that, my next question, I'm going to go to you first, Sister Diatoma, and then the Queen Aziza. The question is this. This time that we're in now, all right, like I said, at the end of the show, we want to offer practical application, practical solutions. So
yes, sir.
Your experience here as a Muslim, or just as a, I'm going to say just as a single mother, what are some of the things you can offer to single mothers to tell them what to do in situations? For example, single mother with a young man, I mean,
yes,
how do you share wisdom with him to keep him on Sirat al-Mustaqim or the straight path?
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. You're going to make me cry with this one, but I'm going to try to hold it in. For all my single sisters out there, first of all, bow down. Submit. Bow down. That is the first step. That is the first and ultimate step. We cannot do it without the will and grace of Allah surrounding us, without the will and grace of Allah around us, knowing that He is not a spook God, being patient in doing, finding your oneness with Allah and asking Him to help you find His will and only His will. I have found on this path, on this journey, that trials is ordained. They are ordained for growth. Whatever you're going through, take it. Take it. Thank them. Scream out to them if you have to, whatever. Scream to them. Say, thank you, God, whatever you want me to do, use me for your time, your day, your work, whatever it is. Take it to them. Because I can guarantee you with all that's going on, with the way they're killing our babies, with the way they're taking them out, it ain't nothing but Allah that's going to save them this day and this hour and this time. And I guarantee you that. And even if He allow you to take him, to take your children, whether girl or boy, you find the reason in it. You ask Him why and ask Him to give you the strength to bear. Because remember, trials are ordained. Diminution of few, loss of life, loss of home, loss of money, loss of everything. God is making it this day and this day alone for us to completely submit our will to be His will. And whatever it is He have you going through, you thank Him. But before then, if you want a man of God, if you want to grow a man of God, then get around the man of God, beloved sisters. You cannot grow a man into a man if you don't have a man. Simple. I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to keep it honest. My baby has been in the Nation of Islam since he was 4 years old. In that time, he has learned how to play the piano by ear, Beethoven, etc., because God is using him. This young brother is writing books. This young brother is teaching his students and teacher in high school. They applaud him. They give him the stage. They tell him come up and they give it to him. His white teacher just the other day came to me. She said, I needed to meet you because I needed to know the woman that is growing this man. I said, baby, it's not me. It is God and God alone. So submit your will totally and completely to Him, because I know if it was not for Allah, I would not have the children I have today. My daughter,
hard-headed, but you know what? Put it in front of somebody and ask her about God and ask her about the knowledge of God and ask her who is God. And I guarantee you, with what I raised her in, train a child in the way that they should go, and they will not depart. So I'm waiting on that powerful lawyer of mass to come back, and she going to come. But Allah's got to test her. God said, let her go. I got this one. So the prodigal child, she out there. And y'all might see her on Facebook, like, hello, but don't judge me for her. Judge me how I raise her and what I put her, what I put in them. And I guarantee you, and if you do what God said, do, be patient and endure. Believers, it is dark. We got to endure. With all the knowledge that I have, with all that I have learned, with all that have taught to me is nothing when it comes to a trial. Because when God shut every door, as he said in the Quran, it shall not open. And if he say that I'm turning this away and I'm turning that way and I bear witness, everything can be turned away from you. But when you submit your will to be his will, and when you know that he is God, Allah, 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 there is no God but Allah, and you walk in those words and those words alone, many tears I have cried, many pains I have been down, and my baby can tell you. And he has lifted me up from the darkness, said, Mama, get up, because I know you a woman of God. You think you ain't going to be tried? Are you serious? God is God, and regardless of whatever it is we got to face, we going to face it together, Mama, so get up. But I knew it was nothing but God coming through the words of my child. All praises due to Allah. So I'm going to tell you single sisters out here listening, cry that tear, but know that God got your back. Scream if you have to and thank him for the day, because he got your back. And do not give up. Know that trials are ordained, and it may be dark, but the light is right around the corner. And if you cannot do it yourself, I am your sister, Diatoma Clarity. Let me give you the words that God got for me to give you, because we need each other in this day and dark time. And hold your tongue. Be careful at what you say to your sister and your brother, because words do kill a spirit. And I bear witness to that. So just keep your heads up and keep moving. You a soldier. You was taught that in the nation. And if you're not in the nation, you still a soldier, because you're a soldier for Christ, or you a soldier for whatever God you say you believe in. So stand up and hold your head up for him, because he don't want nobody drooping for him. He wants somebody to stand up and keep it pushing. All praises due to Allah. Thank you, sir, for allowing me to answer that.
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. Thank you for answering that. And Queen Aziza.
Oh, I know you joking.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
First of all, yes, I'm trying to sit up here and not empty my Kleenex box. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Okay. All right. All right. Y'all see the little sissy side of me. Okay. Thank you so much, my dear sister, for bringing out the perk in me. Okay.
Yes,
well, I can tell you all I can say, make it short and sweet. I can bear witness to what my sister is saying. I wasn't a single mother. I was divorced when my children, my babies, were 17. My twins were 17. But I tell you that, of course, you know, during the times of my marriage, the last year of my marriage, was very challenging. And my sons in particularly were kind of feeling the brunt of everything that was going on between me and their father, because they're very close to their father. But I tell you, I thank Allah for the FOI of Muhammad Mosque number 45. Okay, I'm not gonna cry in Houston, Texas, because you know those brothers watch my children grow up, they knew the sons that I had. I didn't have discipline problems or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you something. When you raise your child in a faith and they see their father who raised them walk away, that is more challenging than any behavioral problem you could ever imagine, because you see your father who raised you walk away from God. And now this is not someone who abused you. This is a very loving man. This is a very caring man. This is your best friend. And you have a tendency to admire and follow your father. So my children's faith at that time, and even at those ages, were tested. And so was I. Because, you know, short of killing them, I was like, oh, no, you ain't going that route. You know what I'm saying? But it was the patience. It was dealing with what they were feeling. It was dealing with their emotions and, excuse me, all of those things that I thought they had together. The brothers really just came in and scooped them up, and just all I can tell you is Muhammad make men. That's all I can tell you. I have two wonderful sons, 32, 28, never been to court, never been to jail. I hadn't been to school for my oldest son since third grade, hadn't been to school for my youngest son since the seventh grade. Now, that daughter of mine, she her mama's daughter. But I tell you what, it wasn't much. She is my pride and joy. I call her my Sony. She's my one and only. I call her my Sony. She is my pride and joy. She is an epitome of an MGT. She is a hard worker, a hard teacher. She don't bend. She don't break. She don't bow for nobody. You got to kill her dead before she deny Islam. So I am so very, very proud of my children, and they've had some challenges spiritually and emotionally in their life, even though I've done the best that I could. But with my sons, I knew, being raised in a house of 10 brothers and a father, that I was not equipped to make a man into a man. And like my sister Diatoma said, you know, sisters, I understand more than you think how it feels to be disappointed, to have your heart broken, to have your guard up, to not want to experience that again. But I'm going to tell you something. When you step out there on faith, when you stop choosing a man and let Allah choose your man, you will never fail. You will never fail. But we have to stop thinking that we are God besides the God, because that's what happens. Whether we realize that's the behavior that we're exhibiting or not, we have to come into the realization that there is one who is in control. And like my sister said, if you submit your will to do Allah's will, you wouldn't spend your time belly aching and crying over loneliness, because when you allow Allah to fill your plate, then you don't get lonely. And I could bear witness to that. I have been single and celibate for 10 years this past April. And I'm telling you, I have never in my 47, almost 48 years, experience the kind of peace that I have right now today. And all I do, I go to work, I come home, I try to work on these shows, not for popularity, not for notoriety. I do this on behalf of my people because I want my people to know the truth about these teachings. I'm doing it for Allah. This is so far out of my field. Brother Kareem can tell you I'm a behavioral scientist. Never had anything to do with the media, social media. Didn't know how to text, tweet, or do anything. But when Allah has something for you to do, He makes those skills available to you. I learned everything that I know about what I'm doing right now over the last, 18, 19 months, Brother Kareem, however long it's been.
That's right.
I learned just then, but it was Allah's will, not mine. And when you submit your will to do the will of Allah completely, I ain't talking about taking shahada and just, you know, sitting down. I'm talking about when you really submit your will to do the will of Allah, there is a peace that you cannot imagine. Yes, struggle is ordained, but the first thing you do when you run into a struggle is that you know with a surety that Allah is God and that whatever you're going through is His will and that the outcome of it is still going to be His will. So it would behoove you not to worry but keep the faith. Always keep the faith. Always know that Allah is God. Always ask for prayer and direction from Allah. Always. And Allah will send you what you need. You will be amazed. You will be amazed. There's no such thing as confusion when you submit your will to Allah. He is not the father of confusion. So I just wanted to share that, Brother Kareem. Sister,
yes, ma'am.
I'm mad at you, sister.com. You got me up here snotting. But,
oh,
yeah, I mean, you know, when Allah be Elijah, Muhammad taught us that a nation can rise no higher than its woman. You know, I've been in the nation 47 years now, and a lot of women really take that very, very precious and dear saying, to another level of dissension, so to speak. You know, we want the title queen. We want to be treated like queens and things of that nature. But you have to understand that you have to make yourself worthy of that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of Allah. I'm sorry. I'm babbling this cold, but I got to get this out. When Allah blesses you with a husband, you have to be qualified. I think, in my personal opinion, what I think, our expectations are too high. I think we've been so unrealistic and so materialistic. Yes, the man is the maintainer of a woman. But let me tell you something. There are many women around here who live in fine homes, drive fine cars, and they're married to damn fools.
Come on.
They get beat every day.
On.
They get disrespected. They get cussed out. But they stay because they don't have enough faith or enough self-worth and value to walk away for something less than what Allah desires for you. When the Quran says that the man is the maintainer of the woman, if he cannot maintain you spiritually, first, then he can't maintain you at all. Because a man has to allow Christ to be his head in order for him to be the head of you. And if you're looking for dollar bills and if you're looking for bling bling and if you're looking for fame and glamour, you can have all of that in hell.
Come on, sister.
But you will never have any peace.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something about these trinkets.
Yes, you're supposed to be comfortable. Allah blesses whom he pleases. I get so discouraged when the sisters misunderstand the minister's teaching. When he said that a man don't really need to be talking to no woman unless he got some money in his pocket. Well, what did he mean by that?
Come on.
He needs to be able to be a producer. He needs to be able to give you, you know, food, clothes, and shelter. But you, as a woman,
supposed
to create the environment that makes it conducive for him to go out and produce. No man wants to go out in the street and battle the world and then got to come home to you and your attitude.
Nasty house.
You are stripping him of his spirituality, and you are being other than yourself. And when you step out of the home and you discuss, excuse me, your husband with your friends, with your family, and they look at him with disdain and disgust because of something that you said, don't you know how bad you're making yourself look? Because at the end of the day, you go right back home and snore in his face. It makes you look like a hypocrite. So whatever's going on in your household, stop talking about your husband. Spend that time, spend that energy in improving your relationship. Spend that energy talking to see how the two of you can come together to make things work. But stop putting your business in the street, disrespecting yourself and your family. Because when you disrespect your man, you disrespect your children. Because I'm the kind of, since I'm going to look at you, you're going to talk about the man bad, and I'm going to say, damn, you reproduced him into the future? Really, sister? What would you think? You know, but let me shut up. I'm going all up into another. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you, though, Brother Kareem. Thank you for the question. And please excuse me. I'm still, my lungs are still thin, so excuse me for coughing.
No, ma'am. I understand. No, we thank you for being here, you know, in the condition that you're dealing with. We want to thank you for that.
Yeah.
Now, if you wouldn't mind, or do you want me to do it, the lineup for the rest of the week?
Oh, I got it right quick. Okay, tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central, join us with Brother Jahad out on the front line with the Food of Islam. He's going to do a rebroadcast of the courtship part two. You don't want to miss that. Courtney is not dating. For Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central, join us for DJ Black Season and Friends. On Thursday, I'll be back with The Attitude of Cain with Brother Derek Muhammad out of Houston, Texas, Muhammad Mosque number 45, my home mosque. On Friday, join us for with Student Minister James Muhammad as he gives us an update on the Day of Atonement in Florida this past weekend, and of course he'll be covering the time and what must be done, the last recording that the minister provided to us. And on Saturday we'll be back with Sister Yatira with Young Gifted and Black, and she is going to interview some of the youth that actually participated in the events at the Day of Atonement in Tuskegee, Alabama. I've seen some pictures. It looked like everyone had a wonderful time. So sorry I didn't get to go, but Allah plans, and he's the best of planners. And then, of course, on Sunday, join us with Brother Vernon at 6:30 p.m. Central as he brings us No Romance Without Finance, our economic development show. And then, of course, next Monday, we'll be right back here with our beloved brother, host, and vice president of Nation Building Movement, and my sister, Diatoma Clarity. We'll all be back next Monday, and we're going to see what Brother Kareem has up his sleeve. So can we get a peek at what the topic is going to be, Brother Kareem?
Oh, most assuredly, the topic next Monday, inshallah, and when I say inshallah, it's not a question, it's a statement. The topic will be how to eat to live for real.
I'm going to be quiet on that one.
I really got the answer to that. Look, raw salad
Beans, look, I've been eating bean soup for 48 years. I'm sorry. I'll be the first one to tell you. It's not my favorite food no more. I've been doing it a long time, almost 50 years. Look, bean soup, raw salad, and fruit. That's it. Water, coffee, and yes, I'm sorry, I like Kool-Aid. But that's it.
Okay. Well, yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. It's going to be a little more than that, but yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So, again, I want to thank Queen Aziza, Sister Diatoma. I want to thank Brother Eugenio. I also want to thank Sister Mutira. She's been out there listening. She didn't want to join in tonight, but I want to thank her. She's out there listening, too. All right, I want to thank everyone who joined us in the chat room, on the phone, also Google Chat. Everyone, you know, I want to thank you all for joining us here on Conscious Black Nation and ask you to please come and join us again and listen to all our programs here at Nation Building Work, Nation Building Movement. I want to say this very quickly before we go. You notice we also read from the Bible where it talked about not casting your pearl before swine.
Come on.
And notice what it says at the end. It says, because they will trample them, and then they will turn and rend you. And the word rend literally means to tear apart. So in that sense, yes, we are here to work to save our people. However, we have to understand that Queen Aziza often mentions to us, see, we may want to save people, and you offered it, you put the hand out, but everybody's not going to be saved because they don't want to be saved. That's the bottom line. They are where they are, and that's their right to choose that. But when it says do not cast your pearls before swine, pretty much what it is saying is that an individual who is in an unclean place, a person who's in a negative place, and they show you by their actions that they're not ready to come to the truth, then you just handle them with a long-handled spoon if you deal with them at all. As always, we want to say, the thought is the act is the fact. We either all participate or we dissipate. I want to leave you as we came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.